The scripture reading today is taken from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. It's on page 980 in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. Through him we have obtained to this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in our hope of sharing the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. While we were yet helpless, at the right time Jesus died for the ungodly. Why, one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man one will dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Word of God.
Thanks be to God. Another reading from the Gospel of Matthew, starting at the 35th verse of chapter 9. That's page 843 of your Bible if you'd like to read along. And we'll go to verse 8. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every infirmity. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And he called his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every infirmity. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother; James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector; James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus; Simon the Cananean; and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, charging them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And preach as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You have received without pain, give without pay." We'll go on for a while. We'll stop there. "You receive without pain, give without pay." This is the word of God. There is in me, and maybe there is in you, a tension. Sometimes you hear people say, "I am all for God, but I don't like organized religion." And that's an interesting comment to make. And I understand it. I felt that way myself sometimes. Sometimes the organization of the church, the institution, seems to get in the way of the purposes and will of God. Somehow the church forgets why it exists, and the church forgets what it is supposed to be doing. And sometimes you and I find ourselves on the receiving end of the church's forgetfulness and find ourselves hurt, dismayed, disappointed, even cast out from community and fellowship in the church. On the other hand, we may at some times be the ones who are forgetting what it is God is doing and what it is God wants. And so perhaps it is helpful for us to remember that Jesus, as he represents God to us and as he comes to us through the Gospels, loves and formed and shaped the church. But not for the church's sake, but for the sake of the world. John 3:16 reads, God so loved the world. It does not read, God so loved the church. That doesn't mean God doesn't love the church. It means that God loves the world more. And you and I, as people who follow Christ, need to take time to assess and remember what God is about in this world and where we fit in to what God is doing. When we remember that, we will cease to think of things in terms of faith in God and organized religion. Those distinctions make no difference to the one who understands and clearly has placed themselves as a follower of Jesus. The question may begin, or we may start with a question, what do we do for God, and what do we do with God? And what is God calling us to do? Much of the edifices of the Christian faith, be they the great cathedrals of Europe and of the United States, or the structures of church polity, be they the Catholic Church, the Methodist conferences, or the associations and conventions of the free church movement, are things that we do for God. We do them to glorify God. And as such, they are not the most important thing we do. Doing something for God may be an act of love and service for God, but it is not what God is asking us to do. The truth of the matter is that we can do nothing for God because God does not need our doing for him. What God has called us to is to do with God. We are called to work with God. We can go nowhere in this world where God is not already present working. When we arrive on the scene, it does not mean that God has then arrived on the scene. Something that a great many pastors would do well to remember. God has been in Wesley Church since Wesley was founded. God was the one who started Wesley Church. Pastors and members of the church come and go. God stays. In the gospel reading today, Jesus called his disciples because he saw what people were suffering. He had compassion on them. His heart and mind were touched And he knew there were people who needed God in their lives. And he knew of only one way that God could be present in their lives. And that was to send someone to them. And so God called 12 disciples, and he gave them authority, and he gave them instructions. He said, "Preach as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven has come. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. These are the very things that Jesus did when he was going out through the cities and village, teaching in their synagogues, we hear, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every infirmity." Jesus calls us to do what Jesus did and does. God calls us not to work for him, but to work with him. It is no longer enough to have some sort of intellectual assent that says, yeah, I agree with God, but you know what? The organized church and organized religion is a bunch of rubbish. They do nothing but fight, bicker, and complain. Well, yeah. We're human beings. There's a part of me that knows that if I, well, it's hard to say this. Sometimes we fight, bicker, and complain less because some people leave us. But the truth of the matter is, as imperfect as church is, and it is, it's not the point. It's one of the ways, it is the way, God has chosen to call us and to equip us and to strengthen us to work with him, to work with God. And so, it's important for us to see clearly what it means to be here today and to ask ourselves the question, are we a disciple of Jesus, or are we a member of the church? I will say that I believe you can be a member of a church and be doubtful as a disciple of Jesus. I will also say that I believe that a disciple of Jesus would always be a member of the church. Let's think about it. Where is our discipleship? How might we be able to see what God is doing in us and with us and through us? How are we working with God? Well, if your mind is drawing a blank, let's think carefully about some of the ways that I have witnessed you working with God. I have watched over the years that I have been here how you have reached out not only to the persons in this community, in this community of faith that have been suffering, but I have watched you reach out to others unknown to you or not of your circle of friends to give them what they need. Could we possibly do things like the Rock Kitchen without doing it together? There's no way we could do the hypothermia project without each other and without lots of help from other people. How could we possibly accomplish the mission trips that the youth have gone on if we had not drawn together and done them together? Don't for one second assume that you are doing nothing for God and nothing with God. You are. You are people who are disciples of Jesus. You are people who have understood that you are called and equipped to preach the good news of the kingdom of God, to heal the sick, to feed the hungry, to reach out and touch and help people with their infirmities, to cast out demons. Oh, you might not do it in the style in which people recognize it readily and quickly, but you do it. When you speak the word of love, the demon of hatred dwindles. When you speak the kind and compassionate word, the spirit of hatred diminishes. When you feed the hungry, the spirit of bitterness, the demon of bitterness is staved off. But we always need to be clear. We are people who are called to work with God. Why are we that? Because we are disciples. Because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and because of his resurrection, we are no longer slaves. We are no longer servants. He calls us friends. He calls us family. He calls us his brothers and sisters. He calls those who do his will his brothers and sisters and his mother. And it. We're not his servants anymore. We don't work for God. We work with God. We're a member of the family. And it's always been about our discipleship, our learning at God's hand, are following God's way and working with God every day. Be clear, folks. Your church membership, as important as it is and as wonderful a thing it is to join a church, and how it certainly makes my day when our church membership grows, we always must remember that the ultimate question is, how is our discipleship? How are we working with God, doing what God does? Seeing what God does in the world and going and being with God there. That is what discipleship is about. It is not something set aside for the 12. It is not something that was given only then. It is only when God stops working that it will cease to be that there are disciples. And God has not stopped working, and so you and I shall continue to be disciples, working with God, helping God do what God wants done, which is the salvation of each and every soul and the salvation of the world. We are a people with a mission. Don't forget it. It is not about us and our paycheck. It is not about us and how we feel. It is about God and his call and invitation to the most extraordinary, blessed life we can have, that of working with God. It's not just for the preacher. It is not even for the holy roller or the extremely religious. It is for each and every one of us. You're not a member. You are a disciple. Let us pray.